And everybody getting upset about Thundercats Roar being done in that type of style of animation, despite the fact no one watched the 2011 one, which was better than the 1980s one. Yeah, I fucking said it.
Welcome to the Cartoon Something You Know Whatever podcast.
Cartoon Something You Know Whatever podcast. Oh, yeah.
Calling the porn star his Beyonce. I seen the porn star he talking about. I was kind of hoping it was, I'll go ahead and say it, like some of the black good ones over here, like Jasmine Cashmere, some of the retired ones, Jasmine Cashmere, maybe Janet Jackmead. I don't know, like, shit. Look, if not them, and like, we really gonna go apart this, like, Drake trying to be a crossover for both black and white audiences when he's more so playing to the white side than the black side. Yo, man, Alexis Texas told you she don't like to fuck black dudes on camera. Go ahead and get with that, but, So.
Then the 40 thing, that was very disrespectful. That man has a real disease. That's what it's like. He has a real disease. Matter of fact, the next day was MS Day. And Pusha T said, oh, he kept going on without
you. Oh, shit. Here we go. You are hiding a child. This is where I put
What you do? Aww, why must people hate?
It wasn't that bad.
Ice Bear will hunt them down.
Yeesh.
Yeah, for real. Let's start going.
Oh, shit. Oh, welcome to the Cartoon Something You Know Whatever podcast. Just a quick heads up. Hold up. Okay. What was I about to say? Oh, heads up. Some of you have, like, downloaded and listened to the Black Panther episode. I've already gotten the complaints. I've already talked to Podomatic about it. We will re-release that episode at a later date. I don't know how that static got in there. I don't know why it cut off halfway through. But I will, like, re-release it at a certain later date. But, yeah. So, that's on that. Anyway. Today's episode was supposed to be about cartoon reboots and how people get upset about it for no real reason just because of the way things look. And then, I mean,
shit happened.
Oh, God. Okay, so if you've been living under a rock for the past, let's see, today is the 1st of June.
Yeah, see.
So we'll go from the 23rd of...
Was that Friday, Saturday?
We'll go, yeah, last Saturday to today. Oh, wait, no.
It was Friday when Pusha T's album came out.
Okay, so yeah, the 25th, my bad. The 25th of May, 2018, all the way up to now. So Pusha T released an album. Time. He released the EP.
But I mean, it's technically called an album now because of the new rules.
Okay.
State 5 songs or more, and I think it has to be longer than 15 minutes. It's an album. And I don't agree.
Barely longer than 15 minutes. But his EP, I'm calling it an EP.
Go for it.
Was released on Friday.
What's the controversy? The album cover, for one.
I had no problem with the album cover.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Like, dude talking about crack and drugs and whatnot. I mean, why not use one of our most famous beloved crackheads?
She's not a beloved crack. No one calls her our beloved crackhead.
But we have fun with all her crack jokes and her crack comments.
Anyway.
Okay. So that drops, and the whole EP is just smooth with what the album cover is like. Like, okay, your usual Pusha T stuff about drugs, crack.
Been rapping the same thing for 20 years and it's been working.
Yeah.
That's something happened.
And then we get to the bottom of it. Shoot, hold on. I got it on the computer. Let me pull that shit up. We get to the bottom. You go ahead and finish this out. Why? Yeah.
We get to the last song, Infrared. You know, infrared usually involves guns taking shots at people. Well, Pusha T did the last bit of that. He hit up pretty much most of the Cash Money people we had.
As he's been doing for the past 15 years.
Baby or Birdman, Wayne, and then Mr. Turtle's very own. Oof.
Niggas beats is banging, nigga, your hooks did it. The lyric penning equal to Trump's winning. The bigger question is how the Russians did it. It was written like Nas, but it came from Quentin. The mercy of a game where the codes is missing. When the CEO's blinded by the glow is different. Believe in myself and the Coles and Kendricks. Let the sock puppets play and they rolls and gimmick shit. Remember Will Smith won the first Grammy? And they ain't even recognize Hov until Annie. So I don't tap dance for the crackers and sing Mammy. Cause I'm posed to juggle these flows and nose candy, yeah. Ferrari, my 40, it blew the candles out. Tom Brady, you niggas, I had to scramble out. They be riding these waves, I pulled my sandals out. Had they Latin my Grammy, I went the Spanish route. Oh, now it's okay to kill baby. Niggas looked at me crazy like I really killed a baby. Salute Ross, cause the message was pure. He see what I see when you see Wayne on tour. Flash without the fire. Another multi-platinum rapper trapped and can't retire. Niggas get exposed, I see the cracks and I'm the liar. Shit, I've been exposed, I took the crack and built the wire. Now who do you admire? Your rap songs is all trying my patience. Them prices ain't real without inflation. I done flew it, I done grew it. Been a conduit. More than 9 bags on my bitches, I done blew it. See through it, neck igloo it. Hablan Espanol, I eat to it. Let Steven talk streaming and Shazam numbers. I'll ensure that you getting every gram from us. Let's cram numbers. Easily, the only rapper sold more dope than me was Eazy-E. How could you ever write these wrongs when you don't even write your songs? But let us all play along. We all know what niggas for real been waiting on. Push.
So yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Of course the response has to be.
And, I mean, here's the thing. What Push was saying on that was like shit we've been hearing people say about Drake for a while.
And Drake must have saw this just as another Meek Mill situation where I'm going to drop a few bars.
And that's where he fucked. Okay. So, I'm going to say it like this. I feel like Drake fell for that. He fell for the okie doke on that.
He
thought like, okay, this is going to be just like Drake and just like Meek Mill. And the thing is, I mean, people are trying to retroactively give Meek Mill his W back. Because of this, because we'll get in more into this beef, but like because of this beef now, we're trying to retroactively give Meek Mill his W back, and it's like, nah, Meek lost, and for me, Meek lost that beef against Drake, because he was kind of boxing above his weight class in this particular case, and B, Drake came out with 2 diss songs in, what, 2-3 days?
Yeah.
And it took you 5 days to retaliate.
Well, Drake is along that same path right now. We'll see what will happen.
And then we get Drake's response to it that dropped the same day. Where is it? Duffy. Here we go. Pull this up. The ad is playing. Why is the ad playing? Something about upgrade, a movie.
Let's do it.
And here we go.
What's the jazzy beat over?
I'm in shock.
Yeah.
The nerve, the audacity.
LA Noir in this bitch.
Slide at that,
okay. So if you rebuke me, if
for working with someone else on a couple of V's. What do you really think of the nigga that's making your beats? I've done things for him I thought that he never would need. Father had to stretch his hands out and get it from me. I pop style for 30 hours then let him repeat. Now you popping up with the jokes, I'm dead, I'm asleep. I just left from over by y'all putting pen to the sheets. Tired of sitting quiet and helping my enemies eat. Keep getting temperature checks, they know that my head overheats. Don't know why the fuck you niggas listen to Dead I'm Asleep. Must have had your infrared wrong, now your head in a beam. Y'all are the spitting image of whatever jealousy breeds. Don't push me when I'm in album mode. You're not even top five as far as your label talent goes. You send shots while I gotta challenge those. But I bring calicos to the Alamo. I could never have a Virgil in my circle and hold him back cause he makes me nervous. I wanna see my brothers flourish to their higher purpose. You niggas leeches and serpents, I think it's good that now the teachers are learning. Yeah, your brother said it was your cousin and him and you. So you don't rap what you did, you just rap what you knew. Don't be ashamed, there's plenty niggas that do what you do. There's no malice in your heart, you an approachable dude. Man, you might have sold the college kids for Nike and Mercedes. But you act like you sold drugs for Escobar in the 80s. I had a microphone of yours, but then the signature faded. I think that pretty much resembles what's been happening lately. Please believe your demise will be televised. Yeah. And as for Q, man, I changed his life a couple times. Nigga was at Kroger working double time. Y'all acting like he made the boy when I was trying to help the guy. Yeah. Who gassed you to play with me? Man, you made this shit as easy as ABCs. Whoever's supposedly making me hits, but ain't got no hits, sound like they need me. My hooks did it. My lyrics did it. My spirit did it. I'm fearless with it. Yeah. I really shouldn't have given you none of my time. Cause you older than a nigga you running behind. Look, holla at me when you multi-million. I told you keep playing with my name and I'ma let it ring on you like Virginia Williams. I'm too resilient, get out your feelings.
Where are you?
It's gonna be a cool summer for you. I told Weezy and Baby I'ma done them for you. Tell Ye we got an invoice coming to you. Considering that we just sold another 20 for you. To be honest.
Okay, so here's the thing. He has some little nice ringers in there.
Yeah.
And it's a decent, like, comeback diss track. Like, that on its own, if it would have ended right there, it's like, okay,
yeah.
You could argue who won, but, like, Drake at least put up a good fight on this. How do I want to put this, though?
He wasn't just... I felt like he was going at Kanye for no reason, though.
Yeah, I feel like Kanye... A lot of people caught some strays here. Yeah. Like, Kanye being the first one.
Yeah.
Like, Baby in the last... Well, nah, those weren't necessarily strays. He knew what he was doing with Baby and Lil Wayne and all of them. Like, he knew that.
Don't forget, Lil Wayne said, fuck Pusha T and anybody who loves him. Mm. So, I mean, he's had that in his heart for a while.
This goes all the way back to what? Mr. Me Too?
Yeah.
Shit. When did that come out? That was 2007, 8?
A long time ago.
Okay, so, anyway. As all this is happening, again, the Duppy freestyle, really good diss track. Like, has some ringers, but it's like, in the middle of that, you kind of feel like, okay, I don't think Drake really understands what's happening here. Like, he's a rapper, he's a rapper in the sense that, like, Nelly was a rapper, in the sense that Ja Rule was a rapper, in the sense that 50 Cent later became a rapper. Like, you're a rapper that can sing, and that's a disrespectful thing to rappers like Pusha T, who does nothing but rap.
The rappy rappers.
Now, when I say he's like them, I don't mean like, okay, Drake is a better rapper than Nelly.
Mm-hmm.
Drake, I would say, better rapper than Post-Massacre 50 Cent.
Okay, yeah.
Post-Massacre 50 Cent, he's a better rapper than.
What about Ja Rule? Ja Rule had hits in the early 2000s.
Other
people, though.
Time out. Here's the thing with Ja Rule, though.
Ja Rule has something to talk about.
If we're going to retroactively give Meek Mill W's for, like, shit that we knew he lost for at the time,
mm-hmm.
We all got to be ashamed for letting 50 Cent be the dude to tell us that Ja Rule was soft and Ja Rule a bigger gangster than 50 Cent. Like, I mean, Ja Rule's doing a singing and rapping thing, too, because, hey, it worked for Nelly. Why not do it for me, too?
Exactly.
But Ja Rule was legit hard. And we got ourselves in the thing, like, nah, he's a soft nigga, because 50 Cent over here saying that he's a soft nigga. Then 50 Cent go out here and get clowned by Kanye, who, I mean, between Graduation and his most recent shit, you tell me which Kanye is the better Kanye.
He has so many different forms.
I mean, right.
Frieza.
If you come at me with that Yeezus shit, though, you got to be a Kanye stan to be saying that thing.
There's about two or three songs on there I like.
I don't even know if I like one song on it. I think that's when I stopped listening to Kanye. Yeezus. When Yeezus came out, like, I'm done. Fair enough.
That was terrible.
I could sit through 808s and Heartbreak. I love my Dark Twisted Fantasy. Then Yeezus came and was like, okay, nah, we're not about to do this roller coaster. I was with you with College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. I could understand 808s and Heartbreak because your mom just died. Mm-hmm. Then you came back with Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like, okay, he's back. And then Yeezus, nah, I'm out. So, yeah, like, I don't think Drake realized what was happening here. So, then came, and I mean,
And there's some of the straight shots that Drake sent out. Pusha T topped those straight shots in this next song. So-called disrespect, okay. I call it.
Okay.
It is what it is.
So, I'm going to prep this by saying, I think only Ether, Hit Him Up, No Vaseline, and what was it? Either one of Eminem's beefs with Benzino or Ja Rule, one of those two beefs, either one of those two, I would even contend is better than this. You can convince me that the last three I just named was better than that. You can't convince me that this is better than Hit 'Em Up.
No, Hit 'Em Up's my favorite.
Hit 'Em Up's probably the best diss song of all time.
First off, come on. He starts off the song.
Fuck you, bitch.
It's like, well, damn. Oh, shit.
And they played it on the radio, too. So it's like, okay. So, yeah. And a lot more came with this next one.
The story.
Okay, so. I don't know how we're going to explain this.
We should probably, after we play it, because we can talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
This is called The Story of Adion?
I think I'm doesn't matter. Adonis.
Easy money. It's about to be a surgical summer.
What does that mean, Cushion?
Chop the tops off the coops. The 488. The spider joint. And you know we gotta cut the heads off these snakes, right? Watch the body drop. It is drug dealing aside, goose right in the side. Let's have a heart to heart about your pride. Even though you're multi, I see that your soul don't look alive. The M's count different when baby divides the pie. Wait, let's examine why your music for the past few years been angry and full of lies. I started at the home front, I'm on one. Dennis Graham, stay off the gram, bitch, I'm on one. You mentioned wedding ring like it's a bad thing. Your father walked away at five, hell of a dad thing. Marriage is something that Sandy never had. Drink. How you a winner, but she keep coming in last place. Monkey suit, Dennis, you parade. A Steve Harvey suit, nigga, made him. Confused, always felt you weren't black enough. Afraid to grow it, cause your fro wouldn't nap enough. Since you name dropped my fiance, let him know who you chose as your Beyonce. Sophie knows better as your baby mother. Cleaned her up for IG, but the stench is on her. A baby's involved, it's deeper than rap. We talking character, let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child, let that boy deadbeat motherfucker playing border patrol. Ooh. Adonis is your son, and he deserves more than an Adidas press run. That's real. Love that baby, respect that girl. Forget she's a porn star, let her be your world. How dare you put yay in my verses? I'm selfish, I want all of the curses. I'm pre-booking the churches, me versus three hearses. If we all go to hell, it'll be worth it. Already aligned with the greats. And on that same note, the only ones I chase are two ghosts. Still giving you classics. That's the only thing that dates me. OVO 40, hunched over like he 80. Tick, tick, tick. How much time he got, that man is 666. I got the devil flow, nigga. 666. Surgical summer with it. Snip, snip, snip. And you don't really want it with him. So surgical summer volume one.
Shaw may say the best.
We gonna take this slow.
That was pop level of disrespect, bro.
Nigga. Okay.
Where do we start?
Okay, hold on. The anger that came from you were hiding a child.
Yeah, that's you're hiding a child, man. He could have stopped the beat right there and said it.
I feel like he literally stopped rapping the cadence and everything and just had to, like, you are hiding it. Like, the anger. Oh, shit.
That was not.
All right. Oh.
I wish I could have been in the room when he heard this.
Shit.
When Drake heard this, what do you think he did?
I mean, which one hurt the most? Which one of those shots hurt the most to Drake? Because, hold on. Okay, so when this dropped, he also released some pictures of Drake in blackface.
That's the cover, too. He has a happy Sambo-ass nigga right here in this cover.
Oh, my gosh. That's why I say, like, Infrared was, like, a bait. Like, he took the bait, and I don't think Drake was Oh, shit, my chest.
He thought this was going to be another run-of-the-muck Meek Mill incident. You know, a lot of people come at Drake. Was Common, remember that? Stay Scheming. But this wasn't him.
Oh shit. Okay.
Kendrick Perkins came at Drake.
Now he deserved that.
That was funny.
Like, you think you tough, man? I mean, and you might be tough, like, yo. But after this record,
man,
you can't be making Nah, you gotta go see him.
Yeah, you gotta fight.
Like this. He okay. So. Again, which one of these bars you think hurt the most? The yo, fro ain't nap enough.
The mother thing was pretty hard, too. That was pretty. She's going on his parents in general.
Calling the porn star his Beyonce.
Gosh.
I seen the porn star he talking about. I was kind of hoping it was, I'll go ahead and say it, like some of the black good ones over here, like Jasmine Cashmere, some of the retired ones, Jasmine Cashmere, maybe Janet Jackmead. Oh no, like shit. Look, if not them, and like we really gonna go apart this like Drake trying to be a crossover for both black and white audiences when he's more so playing to the white side than the black side. Yo, man, Alexis Texas told you she don't like to fuck black dudes on camera. Go ahead and get with that, but ah.
Oh. The sun. You're hiding the sun.
Oh, shit. Okay. So.
Oh, and then the 40 thing. That was very disrespectful. That man has a real disease. That's just like, he has a real disease. Matter of fact, the next day was MS day. And Pusha T said, oh, he kept going on without you.
Oh, shit. Rap beef is so much fun when it's done right. Okay, so thought just popped up in my head. We have now had 3 straight years where a rap beef produced a at least great diss record.
Yeah.
2016 gave us back to back. Boy.
Last year was it Nicki and
Yeah, it was Sheetha from Remy Ma.
Yeah.
And this year.
Story of Adia.
I mean, but this year kind of blessed us with 3 great diss tracks, each of them getting better after the next. So I don't think Drake knows what he's messing with. Like,
he hasn't responded since that song was released. It is now June 1st.
Okay, hold on. That song was released what? This was published May 29th on YouTube. So probably I'm saying 28th.
Yeah.
Oh. So, I gotta clear my mind at this.
But Drake, he has responded, just not in the form of a song.
He screenshotted, and that's how you know you got a nigga. Okay, hey man, this ain't no pop beef. This ain't Nicki Minaj and who's the girl? Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
This ain't that. Nah, nigga, this is Jay-Z. Well, not of levels, but Jay-Z. Nah, This is Eminem and Benzino. This is Ludacris T.I. This you in rap beef, man.
I don't think he's ready for that. You know, he's just a happy-go-lucky rapper.
And here's the thing. So, if you had to say who the best, who was the best rapper in between 2010 and 2019?
It's Drake.
It's Drake. Damn what you Kendrick Lamar stands and J. Cole stands say, it's Drake. Drake has been all over this timeline. What is it? The 80s was shit. Yeah. Honestly, take your pick. You could say Beastie Boys. You could say LL Cool J. You could say Run DMC. All of them had somebody take shots at them throughout those decades. Like, and they all were able to respond back.
The
90s. The 90s.
Just full of it.
Shit. The top two were going at it, and then the two underneath them were going at it.
Literally.
So, like, then you move to the 2000s, and it's like, okay, we got our first decade where, like,
beef wasn't as high, I don't think.
It wasn't as high, but, like, you had, okay, M was the rapper of the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Wayne was behind him. After that, I could hear an argument for T.I., Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye probably, I'll say.
50, Ludacris, and I think those are the only four that I'd hear an argument for number three.
Yeah.
And out of those four, okay, T.I. and Ludacris had beef, and that squashed, what, 2000, when was... Let's see, hold on. Release Therapy was 2006. War with God came out on that. So that had to be 2009 when their beef was squashed. Kanye and 50's slight beef. I mean, that was more of a publicity stunt beef, but like, I'm gonna put it like this. The people that came after Eminem, they weren't coming after Eminem because he couldn't rap, because he couldn't write his own stuff, because they didn't think he was a good rapper. They came after him because they were like, okay, you're only number one because of your skin in a black thing.
Well, he could rap his ass off too.
Right, I mean, not saying that those people were wrong, yeah, but this is the wrong white rapper to go after.
He's the epitome of it. Like, everyone has that great white hope that was him.
Right, like, of all the white rappers, you could have... Vanilla Ice was the one you should have went after. We all went after that. There was another white rapper going around while M was out there. I couldn't remember. Right after M signed off the first time. Asher Roth, okay, go after him. Mac Miller, I can understand going after him. M was not the one. Drake is now in that similar position, except now instead, like, okay, hey, M was the white rapper in, like, rap... And Drake black rap, Drake's the gentrified rapper.
Yeah.
When you still have guys out there like Kendrick, who is lyrically probably 10 best greatest rappers of all time. J. Cole, who is like Nas and has a ungodly like cult following. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know who else I put up there. Like those three, like Big Sean and Wale, they too streaky for my liking. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, still two. Oh, Big Crit, but he's just too underground, unfortunately.
He's a generation removed.
Yep.
But it's like, I don't know what Drake gonna do.
I mean, Drake was at a level where like you come at him and you're gonna lose.
And I get where Drake was coming at with Duppy, because it's like, okay, he's like Meek. You're boxing way above your class.
So he thought.
And he took the approach like, you know, like Nicki Minaj took to Remy Ma. Like, oh, I can just throw out record sales. I could clown you. I can do meme battles with you. Like, nah. That only worked one time, and that's really because of the way Meek responded to it. Like, that's the only reason why that worked that one time. Every other time, it don't work like that. Drake, ah. Now, the fun thing about this will be if it becomes a tag team match.
Yeah, if Meek gets on board.
No. Drake and Wayne, Pusha and Kanye. Then it's going to be fun because now it's like, okay, you got the gentrified rapper over here with the mixtape king, and who some want to call the best rapper of the 2000s, versus Pusha T.
Straight drugs.
And MAGA.
Make America great again.
And it's going to be like, okay, who are you taking sides on in that one? And I'm like, man, I'm
just going to enjoy the show.
I'm going to enjoy this. I'm Big E with the popcorn. I'm just watching it, man. Jumping up and down, smiling on my face and everything.
This couldn't have came at a worse time for Drake either. Really, he has an album coming out this month. Oh my God. Had an Adidas clothesline. Which brings us to why the story is the story of Adion. Because apparently, Drake, when he was about to release his Adidas clothing line, was going to, like, introduce the world to his son and start a clothing line somewhere around that. Pusha beat you to it.
I mean, you know, okay, I take that back. Drake can't just come back and respond. No, he's got to take his time with this. You just said it right there. Pusha did this, and it's like, yo, he nuked everything Drake could possibly do within this next month. So Drake,
what does Drake do? Just forget this and move on to his album? He can't. No, people are gonna bring it up.
He's got to do what Nas did. He's got to go ether. Drake's battling for respect now, because too many people have come at him about this, about Quentin doing all his writing.
Poor Quentin. He's a rapper, but he keeps getting brought up into this.
And again, it's a generational thing. Like, Drake and other guys like Drake are sitting there like, I mean, you guys see it as disrespectful. It's like, nah, I'm giving this dude money and we're both getting rich off this shit. Yeah. Old school rappers like, nah, no. That's disrespectful. You ain't writing your own rhymes and you coming out here and
making money. I think it's because he kind of hides it. Kanye, everyone knows he does.
Right.
You come in and say one word, Kanye will give you credit and put your name on the song.
But, like, he has to, like, give an ether-like response to it. Now,
interesting thing is, Pusha still says he ended us calling it Surgical Summer. He's ready.
Like, he got more, and that's the thing. Yeah. That's why it's like, okay, now you either gotta wait a month until like more comes out, or you gotta wait till Pusha's done this entire year and then come back next year.
Ain't gonna work. And you gotta do it this year.
But again, this is why I say if he's gonna do that, he's gotta come with something as hard as ether. At least as hard as ether.
He can try.
And here's the thing, I do think Drake could give you something as hard as ether. Like, back-to-back, I didn't expect back-to-back to be that hard. I straight up did not. But he can do it. The only difference is, when Nas released Ether, Nas was fighting for his career. Jay-Z had kind of, like, really took it to him. And, like, Ether came out. Some people say it's not as good as this song as people like to make it out to be. I'm like, hey, that's not the point. Nas put everything in that. And yeah, Jay-Z came back with something afterwards with the takeover, but it's still like, nah. Ether, like, set it off. Yep. Like, what's something that Nas did after Ether that's as good as Ether?
That's about it. What I want to be.
Like, dude's had two or three albums yeah. since then. The only song that people know about Nas is Ether. Why? Because he put his effort into it. He knew his career was riding this. If he could not give something that, like, everybody could ride with, he was done.
And it was so disrespectful.
It really was. And this is something that Drake got to do now.
But is it in him? I feel like Drake, because now that he knows, because Pusha put it at the end of the song, he said, this is just the first layer he's peeling back, so he has more. And so now he's probably trying to figure out, what does Pusha know so he can bring it up first? Because nothing's worse is when you have a joke and someone tells it before you tell it. Because what do you do then?
He about to go 8 Mile on him.
Man, he can try if he want to.
I mean, it worked in 8 Mile. Why not work here?
He ain't an 8 Mile rapper. There's only one of those people in this world. And apparently he's dating Nicki Minaj now.
Oh, God. No.
Story for another day.
No.
Story for another day.
Oh, that's Pusha's definitely gonna use. You can't do that. No. Okay. So how many minutes did we spend on that? That was a good 31 minutes of that. We may revisit this issue, but
we can't wait to see the ending.
Oh my gosh!
If there is one.
So you thought that was good enough? Ooh. Like I said, I came into this episode today wanting to talk about cartoon reboots and why everybody was getting so offensive about Ed, Edd n Eddy possibly getting a reboot. Turns out, nah, that was just a fake image. Yeah, they ain't. And everybody getting upset about Thundercats Roar being done in that type of style of animation, despite the fact no one watched the 2011 one, which was better than the 1980s one. Yeah, I fucking said it. Game one of the NBA Finals.
What a hell of a game.
Hey, it was May 31st. Now, for all of you who do not know about the dates of May 31st, May 31st in 2007 was Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Detroit Pistons, I think 109-107 in double overtime, and LeBron James scored 48 points, scored what, 25
straight?
Yeah, 25 straight, and went on to win that series in 6 games to go on to lose to my San Antonio Spurs in 4. His only sweep in the finals, but you know, Warriors might have something to say about that. Also, on May 31st, either way, in 2002, the NBA gift wrapped an NBA championship to the Los Angeles Lakers, thus screwing the Sacramento Kings out of their one and only title.
They beat the Nets.
Mm-hmm. Because we all knew in 2002, it didn't matter if it was the Spurs, the Lakers, the Kings, or the Mavericks, they were going to beat the Nets.
Yep.
Anyway, last night's game. LeBron drops, what was it, 51 points.
8 rebounds, 8 assists.
Some would say the best game LeBron James has ever played. I'd definitely say his best finals game. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's his best game. His best game was at Game 6 in 2012 against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
That, I'd say, was his best NBA playoff game.
But what LeBron did and what happened afterwards...
So, hold on. Before we get to that, let's run through the litany of things that happened before we get to the last 5 seconds of regulation.
All right. So, in the first quarter we had with Klay Thompson, we thought he was out for the game when Mr. J.R. Smith, remember his name, it's going to come up several times.
Yeah, it's going to come up.
So, he goes, he just slid on the play trying to deflect the ball and runs to the side of Klay Thompson's knee.
Mm-hmm.
Klay gets off the court. He runs off. We think he's done. He comes back in about the second quarter. He's fine. So that's the first thing. What else happened before that? Is that we don't want to go to the buzzer beater just yet, do we?
I mean, nothing really spectacular happened in the second quarter. So, yeah, the buzzer beater happened.
J.R. Smith again is on the play. There's less than 3 seconds left. The Warriors have the ball. Curry gets the ball. And J.R. Smith is guarding him, but he tries to cheat on the play and steal it. Well, he did it to the wrong person because as he missed, Mr. Curry swished it right through there, tied the game up, I think, 58-58.
No, took the lead, 58-56.
Okay, yeah, they took the lead then. And, you know.
Still an interesting ball game. Didn't think it'd be this close. Kevin Durant decided that after last year's virtuoso performance, that, hey, we might as well go ahead and become what Oklahoma City fans like to call him, a cupcake.
Yeah.
JaVale McGee, Shaq the Fool MVP, showed up. And we also got 2017 revived JaVale McGee. He guarded LeBron James really well on possession. And that's not what we're going to talk about here, because we're going to talk about that dunk that he missed, that he got stuffed.
The only Shaq the Fool moment of the game.
It could have been, and we would have been laughing about it. Mind you, JaVale McGee has been in, what, 1-2 dunk contests?
Yeah.
Okay. Finished in second place in one of them. Probably one he should have won, but, I mean, I don't really argue that. Let's see. We get to the fourth quarter. Nothing really all that bad happens. I mean,
back and forth. We had some leads shrink and grow.
Mm-hmm. 34 seconds left in the fourth quarter, we get a blocking charge, which is then turned into a charge, which is then turned into a block.
But they reviewed it because they wanted to see if LeBron was in the restricted area, which he wasn't.
That,
but, keep going.
That was clear as day that he wasn't in the restricted area. I think it was a blocking foul.
But that's not what they were going over there to review. They were trying to see if he was in the restricted area or not.
Which then led to them changing. Well, I mean, not really changing the call, because one had it as a charge, one had it as a block. He just needed a third referee to break the tie.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, okay. I think it was a blocking foul. Like, a lot of Cavs fans were like, no, that was a charge. I'm like, no.
He was moving.
He was moving. Like, well, you can move when you're coming in. I'm like, yeah, but LeBron was still moving as he was jumping into him. No, nah, nah. So Kevin Durant hits those two free throws. They go up 107-106. LeBron has the ball. And he makes a pass. As he's making the pass to George Hill, who's cutting underneath the basket, Klay Thompson fouls him.
Yep, pulls him down.
Mm-hmm.
And
we get a bonus situation.
Two free throws.
So George Hill hits the first one. Now, for all of you who last night thought that was a shocker that George Hill missed that second free throw, one, you're not real basketball fans. Two, this is his steez. He misses when you need him to make, but he'll always make when you rarely expect him to miss. So he misses the shot. The lemon booty was tight on him. Kevin Durant inexplicably does not box out J.R. Smith.
J.R. off the Henny Smith.
When I tell you what happened in the next 3 seconds, literally had me confused. Because I thought that maybe the score was actually 108-107, and they just didn't add that extra point.
JR made people feel stupid that day because of how stupid he was.
Okay.
But no, we all were in our right mind. JR was just out of his.
And as JR was out of his, he's running away. He gets the offensive rebound.
He takes it back past the three-point line like this is a 21. He got to hit it, hit real. He got to go back.
And as everybody's yelling at him, he turns around, passes it yet again to George Hill. And I'm like, LeBron's right there.
Mm-hmm.
If not LeBron,
Kevin, take the shot.
I was right. Yeah. You take the shot or shoot an overhead pass because Kevin Love standing wide open in the corner. He could take that shot as well. Wouldn't trust your pass on that because, no, but still. You then pass it to the same lemon booty who just missed the free throw. And he gets his shit stuffed by Draymond Green.
But the thing is, JR wouldn't have even made that pass if he didn't realize when LeBron's looking at him. I can only imagine what's going through his mind. I can read lips, but I can't read minds just yet.
Let me go ahead and keep talking. I'm going to try to find something.
LeBron's looking at him confused because JR's run away because he almost went back over half court and got an over and back call. One. LeBron's like, wait, what are you doing? He's screaming at him, pointing at him. And then JR says, like, oh, shoot, the game's tied. That's when he fires it over to Mr. George Hill. There were several things. He said, I think, what did JR say? He said after the interview, after the game, that, oh, he knew the game was tied. But after the game, you can see JR Smith and LeBron talking, and JR says, I thought we had the lead. This is what JR Smith said.
Oh, okay, so apparently I wasn't the only one who got confused by this. I can't find the audio right now, but I will upload it into this show of other, like, radio guys calling the thing as it's happening. Just like, oh, hey, the Cavs win the game. Oh, no, it's actually tied. We're going into overtime. My bad.
No, I feel like everyone knew, but no one feels like they see a professional NBA player doing that. You have to know the time, the situation at the end of the game, correct? Especially in the finals. It's like, oh, maybe they are up by one. J.R. Smith, no NBA player would be that dumb in the finals. Well, you haven't met J.R.
Find this. Here we go. Okay, so there's, let's see. This is from the Dan Levitard show with Stu Gatz. They got the Spanish radio call of J.R. Smith dribbling out the clock in the NBA finals. Let me see. Ad. Come on, let's go, ad. So anyway, after that, they go into overtime. The Warriors score, I think, what, 10 straight? And, yeah, that was about game.
Yeah. I mean, once they get to overtime, that was too much for the Cavs. I think LeBron was mentally checked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he scored two more points after that.
Stephen A. Smith even came on TV and said he felt that this is the first time he's ever legitimately felt sorry for LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, felt for him. Like, ugh, why? This is who you got to drag? And it's not like all the cat. Well, let me rephrase that. One calf helped him. Okay, hold on. Here we go.
On Spanish, Hispanics can do all of the enthusiasm of sports slightly more flamboyantly than the rest of fans. Rafael Hernandez Brito, 87.7 La Mega. That's the courtesy to be given to this sound. Listen to this sound in Spanish. Gira en su mano izquierda, dobla la rodilla, la pone en órbita, Gil, falla el segundo, el rebote es de J.R. ¿Por qué salió J.R. si estamos perdiendo por uno? Estamos empatados, J.R. Smith, qué falta de mente de J.R. Smith, Dios mío. J.R. Smith, qué barbaridad, qué manera de no estar en el partido, J.R. Smith.
Guillermo, we gotta translate the end of that, because no, well, you know why, Dios mío, right? Hold on, Guillermo, we got to it was moving too fast for me to translate it, but that was the correct call, and even that announcer got confused, because he's like, wait a minute, they were down one, they were up one, because everyone got confused. Guillermo, help me with this, because I couldn't keep up with the translations. I don't know how to translate, qué barbaridad, like, it's sort of, what an atrocity. I don't...
There's that, and he asked what's missing in J.R. Smith's head. Also,
all right, we gotta do this again. We gotta go through this again. No, no, listen. The things that happened here at the end of the game with everyone confused, they absolutely had the best call. I didn't think Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy were nearly strong enough in real time about how boneheaded that was. Like, because it just confused all of us.
Yes.
And so these announcers got it closest to right. Guillermo, let's just find the funny sentences. You translate some of them, I'll translate some of them.
Gira en su mano izquierda, dobla la rodilla, la pone en órbita, Gil, falla el segundo, el rebote es de J.R. ¿Por qué salió J.R. si estamos perdiendo por uno? Estamos empatados, J.R. Smith. Qué falta de mente de J.R. Smith, Dios mío. J.R. Smith, ¿qué pasa? Qué falta J.R. Smith. Qué barbaridad, qué manera de no estar en el partido, J.R. Smith.
I don't know how to translate qué barbaridad. It's like it's sort of like what barbarianism, right? I don't even know how to translate that.
He was also confused about the score too. Did you notice? Yes. He thought they were down by one.
Yes. Well, I'm telling you, J.R. Smith confused everybody last night. This announcer's asking qué pasa, why did you do that? He's just yelling, why did you do that?
Qué pasa?
You can't play that enough. J.R. Smith was not the only one confused. It's like his confusion was allergic. We all had an allergic reaction to it. I'm telling you, I thought he was fast breaking in the other direction. I'm like,
I
think there's something to it, because Steph Curry was confused watching J.R., which gives credence to your, he was chasing him down the court playing defense.
This is what I'm telling you. If you really want to surprise the opponent with your game plan, do something like that. That somebody's told it. They do all this preparation. Nobody was prepared for that. Not a broadcaster, not Mark.
The earth was thrown off its axis last night.
Well, that's how he started the call in Spanish. That Spanish announcer described the free throw as he puts the shot in orbit.
Okay. So, also, while this happened, I just remembered Brian Colangelo has to be happy that J.R. Smith did that.
Oh, man, he took a lot of pressure off of him.
We got a Philadelphia 76ers fan in the house. So
yes, I am proud one of.
I mean, I guess. So we'll get back to this JR thing in a second. This Brian Colangelo thing. Apparently he wants Kristaps Porzingis over Joel Embiid. He thinks that Nerlens Noel is a boneheaded player and who is it? What was it?
Okafor
is a class act.
What he said about Okafor was even worse, because he talks about his injury stuff, which is a HIPAA violation. But whatever.
What else did he say?
Talks about Markelle Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
He praised Ben Simmons the most,
which I don't get.
What else did he do?
Went after Dwayne Wade and Gabriel Union. And you better believe Dwayne's gonna come up there and see him.
But the thing is, apparently, only one of the five burner accounts is his.
As of right now.
Mm-hmm. I say, you just gotta fire him. Like, if you can't, one, he can't be telling about the injury history of players, which messes up their money. Two, He's over there shitting on his own players on his own team. And three, I think he's really mad that Hinkie was still getting all of this respect and all these players that Hinkie picked. The only reason, the only player that he got to pick was Ben Simmons. And then Markelle Fultz, I guess, because he got to do the trade. And then he even talked about Markelle Fultz's trainer, about messing up his shot and all that stuff. But I think...
Nah, he's fucking his mom. That's why.
Oh, God. Okay.
I mean, that's essentially what he said.
Yeah. But I think Brian Colangelo was really butthurt still about Sam Hinkie, because we keep hearing this process stuff, trust the process of Sam Hinkie and all that stuff, and he doesn't feel like he's getting any of the credit. Granted, I'll say the pickups of Marco Bellinelli and Ilya Sova were great for us, definitely getting us the 50 wins and getting to the playoffs and getting the 3 seed, but that, I don't know, if those things are true and really are from him, he has to go.
So here's the thing. I can understand him being upset that Sam Hinkie's getting all this credit. Because I don't think Sam Hinkie should get a lick of credit.
Why is that?
The guy did something right in gathering up assets. Mm-hmm. At the same time, and I will always hold this on Sam Hinkie, he ruined careers.
Yeah.
He flat out ruined Nerlens Noel's career.
But the thing is, Sam Hinkie, and people say this about him, he isn't like a cool person to be around. Like, people think he's like an asshole and all that because he's a businessman, and he plays the game just like it,
and
that all that stuff.
But that became also the part of the problem. It's like, yo, you playing this so much as a business, you're forgetting there's a human people. Element to this as well. Like, you can't be out here saying, oh, hey, go out here and lose 65, 67, 70, 72 games this year, and when we start to rebuild, none of you will be around to receive the credit for it. Mm-hmm. Hell, I'll ship some of you off to worse teams. He did it to Nerlens Noel to Dallas. He did it to, Okafor to,
Well, Hinkie was gone by that point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was.
So this is Brian Colangelo's move, actually. The Nerlens one and the,
No, I think Okafor. The Nerlens one was...
Yeah, he got fired, like, last year. Well, removed himself from the team.
I'll say, Nerlens Noel was gone way before that, though.
Yeah, Noel was gone, but then the other ones after that...
Yeah, Okafor was...
He did that, Colangelo.
Mm-hmm. So... And along with that, we're praising Sam Hinkie. Well, people are praising Sam Hinkie for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Never mind the fact that those two both have missed a combined 3 seasons, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Joel has turned out to be, like, probably better than what we thought it would be. So, okay, you could probably take credit for that. I don't know about Ben Simmons taking credit for Ben Simmons.
The thing is, all he did was really put, well, with the team that he constructed, is put them in position to get high picks in the draft.
And even then, it's like, when you got those high picks, who were they?
And we had, Mike Carter was, he's like a 10 pick. But we had Embiid, which was
that hit.
Mm-hmm.
You had Simmons, he hit.
And then we had other picks in between, like Dario Saric, he was a great pick for us.
He's starting to hit.
Yep. Markelle Fultz, we have to see what happens next
year. That's starting to look like a bust.
Yeah, but we have to see what he does next
year. Jahlil Okafor was a bust.
He never wanted to be there, and he shouldn't have been there.
And that's what I was thinking, too. Like, hey, all those guards, Chris Stapps was before, came after Joel.
He was What's after Embiid.
Yeah,
before Okafor, or after Okafor.
After Okafor.
Because before him was, I believe, Russell and
Ingram. Oh, yeah, Russell.
Man, I remember I wanted Russell.
Wait, Ingram wasn't before Russell.
No, Ingram was the same year as Simmons. You're right.
Right. Dang, who was number one pick in? This is Russell. What year was that? That was.
It wasn't Anthony Bennett year.
Nah, there's a. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. Cavs. The 2000. That'd be 15. Wait, what year did that fucking Duke team win the basketball championship? Because this year was somebody else. 17 was the Tar Heels. 16 was Villanova. Okay, so yeah, 2015. NBA draft. Was it Karl Anthony Towns?
Oh, I forgot about him.
Holy shit. Oh, yeah, it was Karl-Anthony Towns.
Russell was in that? I don't know.
Okay, so, yeah, let's see. Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell was two, then Okafor, Porzingis. So let's see. He got Okafor when he could have got Porzingis. He got Okafor when, hell, he could have went Willie Cauley-Stein, who also is being done no good in a losing situation out there in Sacramento. I can understand passing on Moutier. I can understand passing on Stanley Johnson.
That was a terrible draft.
Not kind of, not really. I mean, some of them are starting to come alive.
Is Justice Winslow in that draft?
Yeah, he sucks. Yeah. Again, Jahlil Okafor, center. What school did he come from? Oh, he came from Duke. Okay.
Yep.
Justice Winslow, Miami Heat, small forward. What? Oh, he also came from Duke. Huh. It's almost as if these motherfuckers...
Okafor plays a game that's just not in the NBA. He's like Al Jefferson. They're just too late.
It wasn't even that. Dude could not defend worth shit.
He could score. He had great post moves, but he didn't want to be in Philadelphia.
That's the thing. You cannot be a center and not be a good defensive center. You can't be a center and not play defense. Mm-hmm. You can be a guard and not play defense because God knows we have a lot of those in the league. You can't be a center.
You're the last line of defense.
Right. They get by you with ease. Oh, my God. Let's see. Who else was in that turn? Devin Booker was in that draft. Okay. Wow, Cameron Payne was in that draft. Kelly Oubre, yeah, he's still a role player. Mm-hmm. Terry Rozier was in that draft.
Mm-hmm. Scary Terry.
Who else is somebody of
note? He's ready to get paid this summer.
Bobby Portis was in that draft.
Mm-hmm. Punching people in the face and breaking their faces.
Who? Larry Nance was in that draft. Mm-hmm. Kevin Looney was in that draft. He was also getting some good minutes in the NBA Finals.
Starts.
Yeah, that's going to stop once, what's his name, come back.
Yo, Iguodala, yep.
Yeah. And that's about it. Yep.
Well, point blank, Colangelo, if all the stuff is true, he has to go. Like, how can a player trust you? If you're putting out their business and then you're talking about them with your fake burner account. I don't know.
Let me see here. 2017. Okay, wait. So, Colangelo took over when? What? 20?
I want to say whatever year he got Ben Simmons.
Let's see. Ben Simmons. Okay, so whatever year he got Ben Simmons, that would be 2016. Yeah. But that pick happened slightly because of quote unquote the process, so I can kind of go ahead and give that to more so Hinkie. Yeah, Hinkie. So let's see. So he got Hinkie. He hit on Hinkie. He hit on Ben Simmons. He missed on this dude from France because the dude from France wasn't going to come over. That was the 24th pick in the 2016 draft. Missed on whiffed hard on Okafor, busted that. Second round pick.
I feel like he was always picked in hopes that he would play good enough and then be a trade asset, just like he did with Mike Carter Williams when he won Rookie of the Year and then he left the next year.
Again, like...
But Okafor didn't do himself any favors.
Not to mention, 2015, Jahlil Okafor was their only first round. That was the year they traded all their first round picks, too. So, like, he was playing a numbers game while at the same time getting guys like Guillermo Hernan. He's still in the league, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Okay, so he whiffed there by trading him or releasing him, one of the two. Fuck, let's see. He had Elfrid Payton, traded him, whiffed there.
Yeah, Elfrid Payton, he doesn't even play for the Magic anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, but he's good enough. Let's see. KJ Daniels was a second round pick.
Yep, we had him. We traded him to Houston. I don't think he's playing anymore.
Yeah, he's second round. Let's see. So yeah, Michael Carter Williams.
Was he like number 10, 9?
He was number 11. See, in 2012, yeah, I just made the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Derrick Rose-less Rock or Bulls because he tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I once had Nikola Vucevic.
Yep.
Wow. And that's another reason why I don't really want to give Hinkie all this credit, because he tore down, honestly, what was a pretty decent roster.
What messed us up while the process started was because, one, we kept being the AFC who will go up against the one seed and always lose. We only beat the Bulls because Derrick Rose was gone. Second, Andrew Bynum thing.
Yeah, that
we picked him, we re-signed him, and he didn't play a single second. He's out there bowling, hurting his knees, having an afro at halftime. Comes back after halftime with his hair braided. Yeah. We had Drew Holiday, and then we traded him away. I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I
think Hinkie came in right around the time where we finally got rid of Bynum. And that's when he started tearing the team apart, because that's when we got rid of Drew Holiday, and then we got all those picks. And then we picked Nerlens Noel, a guy who has ACL torn in college.
Okay. So, let's see. Hinkie came on board in the 2012 NBA offseason. Process error. Come on. Yeah. Led by Hinkie. Shift in new direction. Let's see. The
2016.
When he got let go. Yeah, got let go in 2016. His first year there, he finished, 15-67? Hold on. Wait.
I don't even know who our coach was. I don't think it was Brett Brown yet.
2012, 2013. Let me look this up, because this ain't giving me accurate shit. Sixers. All this to say that Brian Colangelo is very happy about J.R. Smith and his blunder.
Because he took the pressure off of him.
And even more happy about J.R. Smith's blunder and this beef with
Drake
and Pusha T is everyone who was happy that the players were being forced to stand for the NFL National Anthem, now all of a sudden mad that Roseanne got canceled, because guess what? Roseanne couldn't keep her fucking mouth shut.
Oh, man.
If I was to tell you I had a parlay bet on how long the Roseanne show was going to be on, wouldn't you believe that I could have won that bet had she kept her mouth shut? Let's see, it's 2018. First season had just ended. If she'd have kept her mouth shut for one more season, I would have won me $100. Because the parlay was, you got to pick how long the show's going to be on air and what's the reason why they're going to get canceled. And I'm like, okay, they're going to be on air until 2019. They're going to get canceled after their second or third season. And Roseanne's going to be the reason why they get canceled. She's going to say something stupid, homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic, so out of control that even some conservatives are going to be like, hey, nah, that was way too far. Which... Yeah. To their credit, I got some conservative friends on Facebook. They was like, yeah, that was all types of fucked up and wrong. We're not endorsing that shit at all. We have problems with Obama in office. You can say it was about race, but damn it, nah, we didn't have a problem with him, with his character or the people's character or what they look like. Nah, we had a problem with their policies. They was like, nah, we ain't rocking with this. So, I could have won $100 had she just kept her mouth shut until 2019.
She must have knew.
Oh, my God. And everybody out here being like, oh, well, the Roseanne show got canceled. Why are they still running the Bill Cosby show? I'm like, y'all don't remember. That got taken off TV for like a good 4 months.
Yeah.
At least 4 months. And if that's what's irking you, I'm like, yo, so what y'all going to talk about? When y'all going to talk about Seventh Heaven still being on TV? Like, that dude out here with kids and whatnot, fucking them.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. I gotta close this blind. I don't want niggas looking at me while I'm not naked.
Well, when it's okay when you are.
Oh, yeah. Make me get a shot.
Oh, gosh. You're a weird man.
Nah, I just like my voyeurism.
Oh, God.
But, Yeah, so Roseanne's also happy with J.R. Smith, although I don't know how much...
I don't know if she even knows who J.R. Smith is, but she probably does now.
Oh, she has to, because she's no longer trending on Twitter.
Oh, what did she say, Matt?
Who?
Roseanne, why is she off of Twitter? Let's let them know.
Let me, hold on, because I don't really... I didn't really care for the show, to be honest with you. I don't really care for Roseanne Barr.
She said something along the lines of calling...
Because she called somebody an ape. I know that.
Yeah. She said something like, oh, she looked like something off the Planet of the Apes. It was one of some lady who worked with Obama or something like that.
Let me see.
And then her excuse is even funnier. And then replied,
oh, that Ambien bullshit? Yeah. Man, get the fuck out of here.
The funnier thing is what happened from when Ambien said back to her, they said, racism is not a side effect of using Ambien. I don't think she's been on Twitter since.
Let's see. Do they have it? Do they have it? Here we go. Do they have it? But on Tuesday, it all came crashing down. ABC abruptly canceled Roseanne hours after Ms. Barr, the show's star and co-creator, posted a racist tweet about Valerie Jarrett, an African-American woman who was a senior advisor to Barack Obama throughout his presidency and considered one of his most influential aides. Ms. Barr wrote, if the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ. Now,
that was so wrong.
So wrong, so racist, and so many different things. She later apologized. I mean, okay, whatever.
Of course.
The people who's trying to come out here and say that her shit wasn't racist, like, VJ, that can mean so many different things. I'm like, okay, cool.
No.
What, like, Muslim Brotherhood, Planet of the Apes. What else are you thinking about? Like, of all the times y'all don't want to see race, why is right here the time where it's like, oh, okay, now I don't see it? Did she post a picture of the girl, too?
Let me see. I don't know if she
Hold
did.
Hold on. Anyway, President Trump responded to the fury of, oh, okay, who cares? But nah, I mean, how do I want to say this? If ABC was going to cancel Roseanne for that tweet, which was a fucked up tweet, but in 2018, I don't even know if that's her top five worst tweets. If they were going to fire her for that, why the fuck did you hire her? Like, that's kind of the thing I get sometimes with some of these people, because it's like, okay, some people want to say, well, we don't know what's on or off limits. Like, why can a political commentator say things like this, but a comedian in this can't? And it's like, well, we always want to shift the line. Because Samantha Bee came out and called Roseanne a cunt. And I'm like, yeah, nah, you can't come out here and doing that either.
You can't say that.
Right, like, you just can't be out here saying that. And do I think Samantha Bee's show should lose some? Should she lose a show? Eh, I mean, I don't care because I don't really watch it.
Yeah.
I don't watch it. Let me rephrase that. But, like, nah, like, what made you think she was horrible in the first place? The last time, ABC, the last time you was in bed with Roseanne, the show ended because Roseanne could not keep her mouth shut. She alienated you guys. Why did y'all think this was a good idea? And some people will come back to me and say, well, it's because there's not a family on TV like the Connors. To which I say, I mean, okay, to an extent, you're right. Now, families on, like the Connors on Roseanne, and you're saying this simply because, oh, Roseanne and the Connors voted, somebody on the Connors voted Trump? Okay, nah, you missed the boat on that one. If you're saying there's not a family that is, like, a legit middle class, working, still struggling through life, okay, I get that. Because, yeah, there ain't really that many families on TV like that. That also being said, I'm going to just say this, and your political affiliations may show when you respond to this. Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons, Family Guy, American Dad,
yeah,
to an extent, Rick and Morty, Modern Family, what else is there, oh, there's a show on Netflix that's, I can't think of its fucking name right now. There are shows out there where, like, middle class white families that are led by a conservative they are on TV. Now, you may look at me and go, okay, Family Guy is two characters, and I'm like, okay, I'll throw that out. Same with American Dad, because it's like, yo, you got the overly conservative dad with the overly conservative, not overly conservative, overly liberal daughter. It's like, okay, yeah, they cancel each other out. I think I said that on Twitter, and someone was like, the Simpsons aren't conservative. They're liberal. They're very liberal. I'm like, okay, one, did you miss what happened with the whole Apu controversy and how they responded to it? Like, people got upset with them not just by how they responded to it, but by who they used to respond to it. They used the most liberal voice they had to respond to it, which goes to show you, to anybody who had a problem with what I said on that 2016 review, Democrats can be just as racist as Republicans. Anyway. What was I about to say? Oh, yeah. Dissect the Simpsons for a quick second. We know Lisa's the most the liberal on the show. Mm-hmm. How many other liberals you got on that show? Outright liberals.
Is Flanders? Would you consider him?
Flanders ain't liberal. No.
I don't know.
Exactly. Now, name the conservatives. Flanders.
Burns.
Burns. Reverend and Mrs. Lovejoy.
Oh, I forgot about them.
Krusty the Clown. He's a conservative.
Pretty much the whole show is.
I'll say everybody except Lisa's not a conservative. Who else? Bart's an anarchist. Marge is moderate.
Yeah.
Homer's conservative. Who else? Moe's slightly conservative. Duffman's conservative. Like, just because the show's message sometimes goes left of center doesn't mean the show ain't conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, Matt Groening is probably a little bit conservative too, even if he is, even if he does kind of consider himself a Democrat.
Travels to me.
Shoot, I mean, because, yo, he out here saying ain't nothing wrong with Apu, and there's people out here saying, nah, there's a problem with Apu. By the way, we will get to that episode. I just got to figure out how and when. So, like, this whole notion of, oh, and not just The Simpsons, Bob's Burgers. That right there is, like, the perfect counter-argument to anyone who says there's not a family on TV that's representative of America like the Connors. No, Bob's Burgers is. Bob, the burger guy, struggling business, doing pretty well for himself, but could be doing better, always in competition with everybody else around, getting fucked over by his rich neighbor, who also is a conservative, ultra-conservative guy. His chief rival keeps stealing his ideas, and he's struggling to make ends meet with a wife who helps him out, and three kids, all of which have different quirks and personalities, the most popular of which is Luis, who wears a bunny hat and is kind of considered an oddball. And even then, it's like, okay, she's too young and, like, I don't know, still slightly pure to not really have too much political affiliation. Not to the way that Lisa is or Brian Griffin is or what's the, I'm missing her name, Rick and Morty.
Summer?
Yeah, or Summer. But, like, you can still kind of tell she's all about woman power in, like, the playful way that can still kind of be serious at the same time. Tina in is kind of the same way, just in a sexual way. Sexual kind of confusing way for her. Confused. So, like, nah, you tell me that, like, America needs the Connors on TV just to represent white American working class people. Like, no, Bob's Burgers.
You know who should feel really sad? All the other people on the show who just lost their jobs.
Okay, hold on, no, I don't feel sorry for them.
Why?
I do not feel sorry.
Because they knew it was could have happened.
Exactly. Look at who you signed up with.
Well, I don't know about. I haven't followed any of the actors.
The new people that was on there, okay, yeah, them I might feel sorry about. The ones who came back, especially John Goodman, nah, you knew. You knew this could happen.
But even then, you gotta take a chance. You gonna make some money again?
And I mean, I understand taking a chance, but you also gotta know, working with Roseanne Barr, you better have a backup.
Yeah, hopefully.
You better have a backup. And I know John Goodman has a backup. He's gonna be in demand for everything anyway.
Yeah. What else? We have the Roseanne incident.
Sure, there's so much that happened within, like, a span of
a
week.
We had something that was very weird to me, and I still understand. But Kim Kardashian met with Trump to talk about prison reform. Yeah, we can leave it right there. I don't understand how she became the voice for it, but...
I mean, they're trying to gentrify that, too.
Yep. She came to talk to him about prison reform, and, well, There's a picture, I guess, of her and Trump, and Trump's pretty happy.
There is, and, like, I gotta be honest with you, maybe I've never paid attention to this before, and I might need to go back and look at certain pictures of other presidents at their desk, but why is his desk so bare? That picture was like, you got Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump, but I'm just sitting there looking at that desk like...
He's a tidy person. He doesn't like to be messy. Cleans up when he has a guest.
If he likes to be a tidy person, how the hell did grab him by the pussy get out?
You know, you can only... Maybe some other burner account caught him.
Okay. All that to say, these last 7 days have been...
Way to end May.
I mean, wow, just... Haymaker after haymaker after haymaker. And again, I would like to remind you guys, at the start of this episode, I said I wanted to have this episode about the cartoon reboots and how people are feeling about them and the ones they should be mad at, the ones they shouldn't be mad at. Why you have an issue with these, why you shouldn't have an issue with these, and why would you have an issue with these if you ain't watching them to begin with? Yes, I'm talking to everybody who's still hating on Teen Titans Go 5 years into their run. What a hell of a way to end May. I mean,
yeah.
We're what? Almost one more month before we're halfway through the year. And this has been a really eventful, has it been a really eventful 2018 or has just May been?
I think May just set it off because I feel like besides it, it's been kind
of. I'm trying to think because, okay, January. We had that Laurel and Yanny.
Oh, yeah, we have that. Oh, we may have to play that. Only about the full. There were so many things that came after the Laurel Yanny thing.
Oh, my God. Gosh, like,
I was going down to Atlanta, and we went past Laurel County. I was like, look, it's Yanny County.
Laurel Yanny. Oh, and on top of that, before we forget, let me, hold on. Let me bring this up just before we.
What do you hear, folks?
No, not that. Something else.
Oh, gosh.
Home SpongeBob. Why?
I'm late.
Thank you.
My leg.
So, you got the hairpiece up?
Thought you could sneak up on me.
So, in the middle of all that, if you heard the running gag there, it's Fred, a.k.a. the My Leg guy. The running gag throughout SpongeBob SquarePants for all of 20 years. This month, May of 2018, he finally got his own episode, all centered around his leg! I'm surprised the ambulance didn't show up when I said that. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way they ever really explained his leg was that they yelled it. And every time they yelled it after a certain point, an ambulance showed up. And the ending, do I really want to be that? Because I don't want to put a spoiler on
that. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No. Matt.
Okay. I won't. But.
Just add it when I leave.
I posted it on the status.
Yes, I was driving to Atlanta.
You couldn't watch it while you're driving?
Not driving a 12-passenger van, I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
No, I couldn't.
Okay, so, yeah, that happened. We're going to have to probably review that episode, too. But all this to say, this has been the second half of May, more than anything. Because
yeah,
Kanye kind of messed up the first half of May. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, May 2018.
We're going to remember that in December
31st. That's going to be on a recap episode. Okay. So, that being said, this podcast is now 3 years old. Prior to the Black Panther episode mishap, I haven't really had that many setbacks other than one unfortunate one that, you know, her son and her inability to control him at the time.
Things happen.
So, but anywho, it's been 3 years. We'd like to thank all of you who have been around for these 3 years. Hopefully we'll be around for another 3 years. I don't know. Anything else I want to say? I'm still kind of working on that sponsorship by Faygo. Yes, we haven't forgotten from episode 5. We are still working on that. Haven't really gotten anywhere with it, but we're still working on it. If not, Arizona or Body Armor, we'll be hitting them up next. I know some of y'all have been emailing me or hitting me up on Amino. Yes, we're on Amino. Well, we're not on Amino. I'm on Amino. MJ, get it. I'm in the podcast room, the Steven Universe room. I'm in a bunch of rooms. Just try to find me in one of them and follow me if you want to. Orlando is currently, he's still in Bowling Green. Yeah.
Yep.
So he's working on his college degree. So like every once in a while, he'll come through to.
Hello, folks.
Yeah, that shit. Aja is in Texas. She comes up here probably once or twice a year. When she does come up here, I do try to make an effort to get her on. We do try to make an effort to get her on here. Sometimes schedules don't align right. Charisma is going to be something of a mainstay. Of course, I'm going to be here because I'm the damn producer of the show. And Keenan is always one call away, so he's also going to be on here. I think Keenan's kind of surpassed Orlando on most episodes now. Let me see. Because we're on, I think we're in the 30s now. And yeah, we don't come on as regularly as I wanted us to at the start. At the start, we was doing like an episode every other week. And of course, because of certain people I was dating at the time, it got thrown off heavily. But we'll get around to recording these episodes when we can. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can leave a comment on our page on Podomatic.com, csyw.podomatic.com. You can leave a review on Google Play, on iTunes. We are making inroads onto probably moving to SoundCloud and maybe Podbean. I don't know yet. Also, you can email us at csywpodcast@gmail.com. Anything else? Donations to this podcast will be accepted and all funds will go straight back into the podcast, so you don't have to worry about us spending your money for no good reason. Don't worry, we're not doing anything like a stupid risky GoFundMe account just because I got a parking ticket.
What?
I didn't really get a parking ticket. It was more so a moving violation.
Okay. Those are very different.
Yeah, very different. In a range of $200 going 30 miles over the speed limit in the construction zone.
Yeah, that's happened before. It happens.
While I wasn't driving a car, but...
Well...
Okay, but anyway,
getting too personal here.
We are about to sign off here. Go ahead, sign your shit off.
Peace, love, and chicken grease.
Yeah, and that's about it. Links to certain clips below if you didn't hear it properly in the episode. And that is it. Here's to another year on Podomatic and everywhere else.
Round of applause. There you go. Man, May was crazy.
Huh?
May was crazy. I didn't think about that until we brought up everything. I forgot Kanye went crazy at the beginning of the month. Man.
Talk about other... Shit, I didn't even talk about the other rap beefs that happened earlier this year.
Gosh.
J. Cole snapping off on people.
A little pump. Dang. They just had too much to get into.
6ix9ine and, who was it?
Chief him and everybody.
Yeah, well, him and who's the, damn it, where's my phone?
Chief Keef?
Yeah. I saw a video of that.
I forgot about Chief Keef.
I did too.
Just love salsa. What a hit. Hitmaker Chief Keef. So did you hear Laurel or did you hear Yandy?
I heard Laurel.
That's what I heard.
See, here's the thing. When I first listened to it, I heard Laurel. And then, like, as I kept listening to it over and over again, I heard Laurel, but I could also hear the Yandy underneath it.
Well, I'm at the shit, he's about to really fuck you up then. Where is it at?
Oh, here we go. Here's this video of 6ix9ine.
Y'all did 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and living y'all rap, y'all don't do. handle that personally. What y'all gonna give me 48 hours? Yo, wait 2 months. Yo, this thing gonna die? Where I'ma die?
Is that an orange dog?
Fuck Lil Reese. Fuck all them niggas. Fuck
the Watch out. You saw how fast she got out of there when he said fuck Chief Keef.
Where I'ma die? Fuck Chief Keef.
Nope.
Took the dog and everything. Chief Keef got them guns for real.
She was like, nah, I ain't about to be in this.
Nah, you can fuck him if you want to. Dang it, where is that video at?
You are hiding a child.